So I grew up in a family that went to church every time the doors were open. In our particular church, this meant three times a week. We were there Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Wednesday night was kind of an education hour. Sunday morning was a traditional worship service, such as we do here. Sunday night was kind of an amalgam of the two. We would have communion for those who weren't there Sunday morning. And then we would have a lesson or a lecture from the Bible. It seemed like, I may not quite be accurate, but it seemed like we were always studying Romans. For years, there was this Lectio Continua. And, you know, it's not hard to understand why that was the case. We were going through Romans, and there's so much in there. It is a dense, dense book. And so I prefer to attack Romans in very small chunks. This morning, that means one verse that I want to center on. And that is this one. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. This verse speaks to us of a movement from captivity to freedom. And so I want to begin this morning by considering what does it mean to be captive to the law of sin and of death. I think that our Old Testament reading this morning from Genesis tells a tale of captivity. Or at least that's the only way I can make sense of what went on between Esau and Jacob. Before these twins were born, Esau and Jacob, Rebekah was told by the Lord that the elder would serve the younger. And so from their birth, these twins were shaped by this prophecy. It affected how they were named, how they were treated, how they were raised, what kind of expectations their parents had of them. And so when the elder, when Esau sells his birthright to Jacob for a pot of stew, I find that just really bizarre, difficult to comprehend what is going on. Esau was the firstborn. He was legally entitled to receive a double portion of the inheritance. Two-thirds of what Isaac had was coming to Esau. Isaac was probably one of the most wealthy and powerful men around in those parts. Isaac was the sole inheritor from Abraham, and Abraham was a wealthy guy. Way back in Genesis chapter 14, there were four kings who went to war against five other kings, and they defeated them. They carried them off with all the spoils. Unfortunately for the four, Lot, the nephew of Abraham, was living with one of the five. And so Abraham came along, subdued all the kings, and set the five free along with his nephew. When he was offered the spoils, he said, "No thanks, I have plenty." Abraham was a powerful guy. Isaac was his sole inheritor. And Esau and Jacob were the sons of wealth and privilege. So why does Esau throw it all away? My guess is that Esau lived captive to the prophecy that had been made over him and over Jacob. The elder will serve the younger. What did that sound like in Esau's ears? Through no fault of his own, Esau had been given the short straw. What kind of bitterness or hopelessness, what kind of feelings of unworthiness came about in a child who was raised to know that he had been devalued before he was ever born? I wonder if it was sheer hopelessness, a captivity of the spirit, that caused Esau to carelessly throw away the great riches that were his to inherit, to sell cheaply that which was rightfully his. And so reading a story like this makes me wonder, to what do I live as a captive? What are the things in my life that shape my behavior in destructive ways? What causes me to sell cheaply the things that are of value in my life? What kind of guilt or sickness or addiction or unhealthy relationships? What kind of financial debt or unkindnesses or failings or inadequacies are controlling my life and leaving me captive? Wretched man that I am, who will rescue me from my doom? This is the question that we asked last week in Romans chapter 7. And what do you know? This week in Romans chapter 8, we find a response. Paul says, "There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death." So instead of being captive to all these things, we have been freed. Each of us who has been baptized have received the Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit brings with it freedom. This is a fait accompli. This is not something that we have to earn or grasp. It is something that we merely have to live into. I remember talking with a friend a couple of years ago who was talking about facing life with your hands at your sides instead of curled up in a defensive position, but just ready to encounter life, trusting in God's presence. And so we read a little further on in Paul's letter that those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on things of the Spirit. Nice words. What do we do with these? To live according to the flesh is to live for the self, to live with one's bodily appetites foremost. Those appetites can have lots of disguises, but really that means anything that comes before God. And so sometimes these appetites are disguised as money, or health, or technology, or youth, or our work, or even our relationships. And these are all good things, as far as they go, but none of them are as good as God. To live according to the Spirit is to live with the Spirit of God, putting God first in one's life, which, by the way, also means putting others first in one's life as we encounter God in them. To live according to the flesh means to live captive to the past, to live as a captive to the hurts and disappointments and failings in my past. To live according to the Spirit means to live informed by, but not hindered by, my past. It means that the hurts and the disappointments are not denied, but neither are they controlling who I am today. To live according to the Spirit means to be open to the possibilities of a future that transcends the past. To live according to the flesh is limiting. It is constrained by human weakness. To live according to the Spirit is freeing. It is unlimited. It is open to the limitless power of God. To live according to the flesh, says Paul, is death. It is going nowhere. To live according to the Spirit, says Paul, is life and peace. This is the promise of life in Christ. It is life and peace. It is that fitting yoke that we talked about last week, which empowers us and enables us to live our lives. To live according to the flesh or to live according to the Spirit is to live according with either ourselves or with God at the center of our life, of our consciousness, of our decisions, of our actions. In 1979, Bob Dylan put out a song called "Gotta Serve Somebody." He said, "It may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you gotta serve somebody." That's what Paul is talking about. He's saying, he's talking about living according to the Spirit or the not Spirit, something else besides the Spirit. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. Something that wasn't in our reading today was another encounter between Esau and Jacob. And this was years later, after Jacob had gone off, really kind of escaped, left town because of his guilt and his the anger that he had incurred in his brother. And years later, he comes back. And the meeting between the two as they come back is really quite striking, because there seems to be a reversal of roles. Jacob comes back captive. He is now a wealthy man with lots of responsibilities. He brings back with him worries about his possessions, worries about his family. He brings back with him some ideas about getting ahead and what it means to do well in the world. And he brings back with him the guilt and the fear that he has carried all these years about his relationship with Esau. And yet when he meets his brother Esau in fear and trembling, Esau meets him as someone who is now free. Someone who has gotten on with life. Someone who is doing something new. Someone who has miraculously let go of that jealousy and that bitterness. It is God's Spirit that makes impossible things possible. It is God's Spirit that makes possible these miraculous changes. It is God's Spirit that sets us free from the things that bind us. I would like to leave you with a question this morning. And that is, what does it mean for you to live in freedom? For you to live according to the Spirit? For you to live with God at the center of your life? For me right now, living according to the Spirit might mean paying more attention to my children. It might mean being more faithful to the daily office. It might mean listening more closely to God for God's guidance as I pursue my vocation. These things are not things that I always feel very successful at. And yet, to live according to the flesh is to say, well, I'm just not very good at those things. To live according to the flesh is to despair and say, what's going to change? To live according to the Spirit is to say, I can try again. And who knows, God might choose to do something very new and exciting in me. The possibilities are endless. For our church, listening to the Spirit might look like putting on a day camp. It might look like going out into our community and listening to those around us. It might look like preparing meals for those who are sick and hungry. So, this morning, what does it mean for you to live in freedom? To live according to the Spirit? To live with God at the center?